Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. Emotional, creative, and often comical. Welcome to another in-depth but out of the ordinary look at what it's like to write. This is Writer's Block with Coin6 news anchor Jenny Hansen.
Okay, so on this week's Writer's Block, we have Keisha Ajose Fisher. She just wrote her first book. It's called No God Like the Mother. And it sounds like a fascinating book, Keisha. But I want to start by talking about just your background, because you have this really interesting background as well, that probably a lot of that probably went into this book. So you live in Portland now, but I know you didn't grow up here.
Yes, I was raised in Nigeria, and I came to the States. Texas was the first American state that I lived in. I lived in Houston for a few years, moved to California, and I met my husband in California, and I've lived here for the last 16, almost 17 years. Love it. Not leaving.
Not leaving. don't want to move back to Nigeria.
You know what? I miss Nigeria, and I get to go back every once in a while to visit. My dad's still there. Mm-hmm. I have siblings there, plenty of cousins. My favorite food is from there. So I will always be back.
Yes.
But right now, Portland is home for a good long while.
And so, and as far as your, background in writing, I mean, was writing a book something you always planned to do? Or what were you doing as a profession before this came along?
I've been in social services for the last 25 years. I've always known that I liked telling stories. I was a really good liar as a kid. I could make up anything on the fly, except, when I have to interview. But I love telling stories, and I loved seeing people's reactions from, stories that I would tell them when I was a kid. I was the youngest of four kids. So I was always trying to get attention from my siblings. And the best way to do it was to, have the best, funniest, most interesting story to get their attention. And I think when I then came to the States, and it was in seventh grade, that an English teacher had us write something and then decided to read what I wrote. Mm-hmm. I'm mortified, right? I'm 12, 13. And she was going to read something I'd written to the class. And, I was still new to the States. A lot of the kids didn't love my accent. They didn't love that I showed up in pigtails and my cute ballet slippers. But so I didn't have a lot of friends, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And my teacher read that story. And to my surprise, by the end, the whole classroom erupts in applause. I can't even remember the story that I'd written, but something in that moment, and not because of the applause, but the emotional response from words that I just threw together really affected me. And I just always thought, if there's a way to do this forever, I want to do this. So that it's happening now, however many years later, it's surprising, but it is a dream come true. I said to someone the other day, I can't believe that I finally got to do the one thing I ever wanted, write a book, get it published out in the world, and then a pandemic comes to shut it all down.
Yeah. Well, it's a good time to be at home reading, right? I mean, what else are people going to do?
Let me tell you, it's been great. I love that more people are reading. I will always champion more reading. My poor kids, I'm always shoving a book at them. Read this, read this, read this. But I love that more people are reading. I've been invited to quite a few book clubs. And so I love that people are reading and wanting to have conversations about a lot of my characters who, aren't all from, from the States. I do write from every aspect of motherhood. It's about motherhood and how it varies all over the world. But what I'm finding is people are, I'm finding the best conversations around motherhood through this book because people do find have the time to read and are willing to share their time in discussing it.
Yeah. And so let's talk about No God Like the Mother. Are these fictional stories? I know it involves several different mothers, right? Several different stories within this book.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They're all fictional. Of course, I take from the real world and mm-hmm. some aspects of my life. But, you know, the road that we take from girlhood to adolescence, right, and to earning that place where someone calls you mother, you know, it's not necessarily easy for most of us. So I wanted to tell, I wanted to share what that is like for most of the people that I know. And, you know, I'm finding that we're all in the same boat, you know, no one, I think, you know, I've said, motherhood tends to come with a lot of, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. And, I haven't found any person who shared their experience into earning that name, shared it as being simple or easy or just falling into their lap. And I just really wanted to touch base on what that's like globally. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we're all in the same boat. And I think the more we realize that, we understand that, the easier it's going to be for us to get along.
Yeah. And there's stories of, it sounds like a loss. That's a theme with some of these mothers, right?
Yeah. So, sadly I lost my mom while I was writing this book. So my intention wasn't to, you know, have it be all about loss and grief, and it's not, right? It's about the hope sometimes that comes after, traumatic experiences. And I wanted to share a lot of, I needed it to be full of emotion and full of reality. But I also wanted it to impart a sense of hope when we survive the trauma that we experience. And I keep saying I promised my mother-in-law something sweet. And I will write something sweet for her one day. But Jane is the best. So my intention is to really like tell stories from a realistic place, from my heart. Yes, at the time I had lost my mother. So quite a few stories are about what, you know, that loss and losing parents and losing siblings and siblings having to take over raising their siblings mm-hmm. and young girls having to find their way, through life without support. And, because those things were real for me, you know, I've been on my own since I was very young, 16, 17. And I did have to find out the hard way about what the real world means. And I wanted to share how that experience was for me. And, my intention wasn't for it to feel sad or feel like hope is lost, but, you know, I'm standing here today because I survived all of those experiences. And I'm here to, you know, share what it's like to stand after being down for so much of my life.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why you're writing the book now, right? After all this time, because you kind of had to live through all that to have this in you.
Well, yes. Right. You know, no one, I don't know, you know, I think when I was, you know, lamenting my woes, right? Why is this happening to me? I didn't understand it yet, right? I was still a young woman. And now I have my own children and two of them are adults and two are still at home. And my puppy. I love him so much. Yeah. And the children. they know who comes first. Mm-hmm. I have daughters who I had to guide with my experiences, right? We don't get to leave our trauma behind. So it was going to be a part of the way I mothered my children. And I needed to find healing to be the best parent that I could be. I've got a great partner in life, my husband, Kevin. He's there and quite supportive and loving. And we are doing this thing together. But I needed to be in a good place to be the best mother to my children. And I tell these stories, I decided to tell these stories in the way that I told them for my babies. And then it just grew from there. I started sharing them in workshops and I joined writing groups. And I've done this for the last 10, 15 years, working full time, you know, babies at home, you know, trying to stay sane. And every, you know, if I had a few minutes to spare, I'd write. So I don't know how I quite got it done, but I did. And, to have it be received as well as it's been received, to be given the Oregon Book Award in fiction, really was not anywhere in my dreams of something that was possible.
Yeah. But well, tell me about that award, because I know it is kind of a big deal that you got this.
I think it is a big deal. Yeah. Yeah, the book was published last year. No God Like the Mother came out, and I was so proud of having completed it and having it done. And then in January, I was notified that I was a finalist. Almost lost my mind, scared the dog with my screaming around the house. And and then in June, you know, after not seeing anyone in my family, we had dinner in my mother-in-law's backyard. Again, I love you, Jane. My mother-in-law, Dick and Jane, the best couple in the world. Anyway, so we decided to listen to it together. And so to be with them and my children is one of the few times in a year that all of my children were together, because they're usually gone away to school. And so we're together and we were listening to OPB. Mm-hmm. We knew that they would be announcing the winner that night. And you know, I've lived in Portland, like I said, for 16, almost 17 years. And we're in my in-laws' backyard and, you know, listening to OPB radio. And they say Keisha Joseph Fisher wins the, you know, Oregon Book Award, the Ken Kesey Award in fiction. And it just made me, you know, it was like full circle moment for me, right? I'm in my new home. You know, I just feel like Portland has really shown up for me. I mean, I said, I'm not ever leaving Oregon. I don't know what Kevin's going to do down the line. But yes, just to be, you know, told by the writing community that they welcome me, and then by the reading community that they love hearing these stories, even though some of them feel dark or they feel, you know, like they make you feel things about the world that you didn't know were there. It just makes me feel like maybe I'm on maybe I'm going in the right direction. Yeah. And choosing to tell stories the way I've chosen to tell them. And yeah, I get to say that I'm an Oregon Book Award winner. Yeah. I won the Ken Kesey Award in fiction, telling stories the way I wanted to tell them. I don't know what, you know, better validation there is, but I am so grateful. I'm not stopping.
Yeah. So when I contacted your PR person, they're like, well, she's under deadline right now. So what are you working on, and what's coming out next?
So I'm always writing. Yeah. I've been working on telling my mother's story. My mom was the first in her, my mom's American, I should say, African-American, and met my dad when he came to the States to go to college. And so when they had children, they decided to raise us in Africa. And my mom was the first one to go to Africa and her family since the slave trade. And I just wanted to, you know, share what her experience was like, going back there, having to become accustomed to life there, and then her journey back to the States and our journey back with her. And it's hard because it's so close to home. Yeah. And I'm trying to, you know, and she's not here. And we talked about me doing this for years. And she shared a lot of her early days with me. So I really want to tell that story, because she was a great woman. We lost her way too soon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a real life superhero who ended up broken because the world was too hard a place to live in.
Well, I was going to ask, did she and your dad separate? Is that why she came back?
Right. So we came back to the States with mom, and dad stayed there. So dad still lives there now. And And mom came back here because her people are here. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to, you know, when their marriage dissolved, she wanted to come and be back with her folks.
Right.
You know, I mean,
yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, I've said I'm never leaving Oregon, so I don't know. yes. So I understand it, and getting to know her in the process of writing this book, you know, I, as a kid, didn't understand why mom and dad had to be apart. Right. You know, we blame ourselves, mm-hmm. When parents separate. But when my mother and I started talking about wanting to tell her story, it's priceless to me what I discovered about this woman who was, you know, my whole world, but I didn't know that I didn't know her, you know? And, I discovered so much more about someone who I saw struggling for most of her life or most of my time with her. And it really changed my, it changed my worldview for sure in parenting. And it opened my eyes to just how much more empathetic I needed to be in this world and for her and all the, you know, the stuff that we go through in life. If, you know, we would just take a minute to see each other for who we are instead of what we expect from one another.
Yeah. Might understand why certain decisions are made. And so is it going to be more of an autobiography, or is it going to be fiction and just based on your mom?
It's going to be based on mom. It's mm-hmm. going to be creative nonfiction, but you know, living in Nigeria, there's a lot of superstition. There's a lot of magic that that needs to be a part of this story, and you know, I can't tell her story fully because you know I didn't know her as fully as I would have liked. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be based on mom, based on a lot of my experience in Nigeria and what life is like for immigrants coming to the States mm-hmm. and comparing it, you know. Yes. So right now it's being written. When I have the time, I write. So it's nice to have these little breaks to do interviews and book clubs, but I am writing like mad
every day.
Well, yes.
It sounds like it's going to be really good. I'm excited to see that when it comes out. And if people do want to pick up a copy of No God Like the Mother, is that, I mean, I'm assuming that's, you know, Powell's, Amazon, anywhere they can find
it. Yes. Powell's has mm-hmm. copies, Annie Bloom's books, Broadway books. If I can, you know, share with you, Third Eye Bag, Third Eye Books. They're the only Black owned bookstore in Portland.
Cool.
Please, if you want to support them, you may get my book from them.
Where are they located?
They're strictly online because Corona landed and shut everybody down. So, yes, Third Eye Books, please. But locally, if you want to read about what life is like and, you know, what that journey is like to earn that name, Mother.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an interesting journey. I'll say that for sure. But, it sounds fascinating. But Keisha, I wish you the best of luck. And thank you for taking a break in your writing to chat with
us. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Congrats on the award.
Thank you again so much. I got to have a cup of tea and talk. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this presentation from the COIN Podcast Network. Here's another podcast you might want to check out right now.
March 31st, 1989. And when I got to the top of the stairway, gunfire just erupted immediately.
There's a lot of aspects of Andrew Sled's story that resonate in a lot of the headlines today.
And then he kneeled on my chest and he put his gun to my head and he said, "I should blow your effing brains out."
So I ended up calling Andrew the following day.
Hello?
I heard a story I couldn't believe I'd never heard before.
And he said, "We're the police." And I said, "I didn't know you were the police." And at that point, I think they were pretty quickly realizing that they had made a horrible mistake.
And in many ways, Andrew Sled's story goes unnoticed and untold outside of his friends and family for the last 30 years.
Until now.
You can listen to more great COIN podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.